thing is that after many years of ideas but very little substance, the military development of the European Union is moving forward much faster now than ever before. The issues that were deemed by many that likely to remain, you know, at the discussion table have now really taken root. EU defence policy, common procurement, military research, spending and the restructuring of the arms industry. The incorporation of military issues into the EU constitution, now the Lisbon Treaty, and the creation of the European Defence Agency in particular are really important milestones in what has passed unnoticed by many people, not by us all. We have been campaigning on this for years, and as I said, I raised all of these issues in a booklet I did on the Amsterdam Treaty back in the 90s, and you know what we have said has come to pass. Now, for the defence industry, there are dozens of generals and diplomats, there are army industry representatives, and they have all been given their view on the European defence policies, but there has been no representation from civil society organisations. Now, over the last few years, the arms industry has increasingly pressurised high-ranking officials. And I've been witness to this myself in the European Parliament through European parliamentarians in Brussels, in the national capitals, to adopt their proposals. And they have been very successful from the Amsterdam Treaty on. They have had a huge, and now in particular, a huge degree of success. There was one group in the European Parliament called the Kangaroo Group that used to organise dinners and lunch briefings. And they are basically one of the groups pushing all of this agenda, because I went to some of their lunch and dinner meetings to find out what was going on, and quite clearly it's all, and this was a few years ago now, that this is what they've been pushing for many, many years. The close cooperation between the European Commission and the arms industry is really I suppose an example of how European decision making processes take place, and there is a need to open up the decision-making process, to have a much more transparent decision-making process, because nobody knows what's going on. You know, the fact that all of this is taking place behind doors, in corridors, things are being pushed forward by the European arms industries and by the military powers in Europe without any open, transparent accountability, without even our own ministers and our own government coming back here to Ireland, for example, saying, we agreed to the establishment of a European Defence Agency and this is why we did it. They never come back, they never expose the fact that they did it, and now we have Willie O'Dea going representing Ireland at a European Defence Agency's meetings without any accountability, without any real reports back on what is going on there. Now, in the European Defence Agency, they have the European governments, this was in September just this year, agreed, and that included our own Willie O'Dea again, European Union governments agreed a series of specific steps and timetables for implementing a strategy to strengthen the defence technological and industrial base by strengthening competition and cooperation in Europe and focusing more deliberately on the needs of the future. And they go on to talk about, in the press statement from the European Defence Agency, about groundbreaking strategy agreed by defence ministers, which was last May, which I mentioned a few minutes ago. Now, these groundbreaking strategies that were agreed by defence ministers were not reported in the Irish media. The Irish public were not made aware of these so-called groundbreaking strategies that were agreed by our own minister, Willie O'Dea. The other thing now to come to is the fact that you might ask, what is going on in Ireland and why should we be worried in Ireland? Now, I just have to find my little bit of paper here, which in relation to Ireland's involvement and who takes part in these meetings. Now, forgive me, because I wanted to read out a question from the Dáil that was asked some time ago. Yeah. Yeah, this was back in the last government. Kieran Cuff asked the Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment the reason why a representative from Enterprise Ireland was acting as Ireland's representative at the meetings of the European Defence Agency, and what was the mandate given to the same person and the power vested in them to conclude agreements on behalf of the state. Now, Minister Martin came back and said, representatives at the meeting of the European Defence Agency is a matter for the Department of Defence and I have no function in the matter. He says Enterprise Ireland does not represent Ireland at the meetings of the EDA. However, he goes on then to say, I understand that Enterprise Ireland has provided preliminary technical assistance to the Department of Defence at the European Defence Agency meetings in relation to a research and development programme which the EDA has decided to undertake and in which the Minister for Defence has determined that Ireland should participate. On that basis, on the basis of that decision, the Department of Defence has requested the involvement of Enterprise Ireland in identifying Irish companies which may potentially participate in this research programme and thereby benefit from the funding which is available to the European Defence Agency. Now, first of all, why Enterprise Ireland are participating in these meetings is quite obvious. What is Enterprise Ireland about? It's about creating new employment potential in Ireland and about finding ways of getting funding for industries in Ireland. But what are they related to? They're related to defence industries. So the writing is already on the wall. What we are moving towards now is getting involved in arms industries, not just on sort of small components that people will argue, because AFRI and other organisations have exposed Ireland's involvement in the arms industry now for a number of years. But it isn't just about the equipment that you can argue about that, oh, this is for, can be for dual purpose. This will end up being Ireland's involvement in blatant, obvious defence equipment. And I would like to know exactly what is going on, how many meetings they've gone to. We just know of this one because a question was asked in the Dáil. They said that the decision to establish an intergovernmental agency in the field of defence capabilities, development, research, acquisition and armaments, known as the European Defence Agency, was formally adopted at the General Affairs and External Relations meeting in July 2004. And Ireland participates in the framework of the European Defence Agency. So blah blah blah. The agency is an intergovernmental agency, but it doesn't say that, you know, it says our representative is the Minister for Defence. But it doesn't actually mention the fact that we should have objected to the creation of this agency in the first place. It doesn't explain why Enterprise Ireland is going there, and it doesn't make clear in relation to accountability and what the forward planning for enterprise the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment is in relation to the opportunities that may arise from the European Defence Agency and from the investment in defence research. And if you look at the European Defence Agency's website, you can see it's quite clear from it what their agenda is. They talk about building capabilities for a secure Europe. The European Defence Agency has been created to help EU member states to develop their defence capabilities for crisis management operations under the European Security and Defence Policy. The agency will achieve its goal by encouraging EU governments to spend defence budgets on meeting tomorrow's challenges, not yesterday's threats, and by increasingly pooling their efforts and resources. The agency's success will mean better military capabilities, stronger European defence industry, better value for European taxpayers. Well, that's debatable. As a taxpayer, I don't think there's a better value for me in it. And it's quite clear, Javier Solana says as well, that he's the principal decision-making head in relation to the agency. 24 member states participate in it. That includes Ireland. Bulgaria and Romania are outside of it at the moment, but I'm not sure how long that would be for. Denmark is the only country that doesn't participate, interestingly enough. Now, how much time have I left there?
All the time you want.
Oh, good. Because there are a few things here that came up today on the web. I was just looking at the website. There's a press statement from the 5th of December. The European Defence Agency welcomes the Commission communication on EU defence industry and market. The European Defence Agency welcomes the efforts by the European Commission to further support the development of a true European defence equipment market. The defence package published today is complementary to the agency's own agenda for creating a more effective European defence equipment market and a stronger European defence technological and industrial base. The chief executive, Alexandra Wise, says everyone is aware that sensitive issues of national sovereignty are involved in defence procurement, and that has driven much of our work in this area. But he goes on to say the European market for tanks does not operate in the same way as the market for washing machines. With regard to procurement, the European Commission's initiative is complementary to the European Defence Agency's Code of Conduct on Defence Procurement, launched in July 2006, which covers contracts placed outside the EU. And we need to look at this Code of Conduct. It's actually quite interesting to see that they use the words Code of Conduct on Defence Procurement, because it's very confusing with the Code of Conduct on Arms Exports. So I wonder, you know, is this deliberate? And somehow I think it is. There was a statement up on the website yesterday. The European Defence Agency awards contracts for UAV air traffic insertion roadmap. The European Defence Agency announced today that it has awarded a contract worth €500,000 with a consortium of defence and aerospace companies to develop a detailed roadmap for integrating unmanned air vehicles into European airspace so they can fly routinely with other air traffic by the end of 2015 at the latest. And it goes on to say the contract was awarded to blah, 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 all the different consortiums. Then goes on to say what countries are involved in it, which of course includes our own. There is another statement here from just before Christmas. The European Defence Agency signs the first contract under the Joint Research and Development Investment Programme on force protection. Now, this is one of the first things that Ireland was involved in, but I think that their approach to this is to go sort of take something like force protection, which is about basically protecting forces or whatever. The European Defence Agency today signed the first three contracts under its research and technological joint investment programme on force protection. These contracts represent a total investment of €13.1 million, including co-funding from industry, and were selected, and you need to look at what industries are co-funding them, by the way, and were selected from proposals worth more than €100 million received through a call for projects issued in May 2007. The three successful projects aim at developing an individual protective armour, a multi-sensor anti-sniper system, and a standoff detection of CBRNE devices. Each of them will be sustained by a highly skilled pan-European industrial consortium, including SMEs, research centres, and universities. So we can see here in Ireland the potential for research centres, universities, small and medium-sized industries. It goes on to say more detailed information on the selected projects and contracts can be found or investigated. The European Defence Agency is delighted that the first contracts under the JIP have been awarded barely 6 months after the programme was officially launched. They don't waste any time. The said EDA and R&T director, said by the director of the EDA, this demonstrates that the initiative model of the programme can make a real difference to promoting collaboration in European defence and research and technology. Among the group breaking management rules designed to overcome some of the drawbacks, I'm just looking for, there was something here about relevant to Ireland, but I can't find it now. The 20 member states or whatever are Austria, Belgium, Cyprus, Czech Republic, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, and Sweden. Now, Ireland is involved there. I'm just wondering, there's been no statements from the government in relation to what this involved and what it entails. But if you go to their website, you'll find out what the three different projects are. Now, you know, when you just look at all of this, there is a huge minefield of information out there in relation to the Commission's website, the European Defence Agency's website, the arms industry's websites themselves, showing quite clearly and quite blatantly that, you know, the European defence and security project is not just about so-called defence. It's about boosting the European arms industry so they can compete on a global level. And this has been going on for years. There's been papers coming out of the Commission from the time I was started in the Parliament right through to when I left, showing how the arms industries wanted more and more of a to have more and more of a competitive edge, to boost the arms industries. They were actually bemoaning the fact at the end of the Cold War in particular, because it saw a decline in arms sales, and they wanted to find a way to kind of boost the arms industries to try and make more profit. And they've been pushing this agenda for years, and it's now quite clear that they have their way and they're having their say, and the public and civil society are having very little influence or participation or even very little awareness of what's going on. And the transnational organisation in the Netherlands pointed out like about the lack of transparency, but also at the time of the referendum, said anyone who's concerned about the militarisation of Europe and about military matters and about the expansion of the arms industry needs to look at what's going on in Europe and needs to try and do something to expose it and to work on it. And I think it's very important that we in Ireland, apart from the issue of neutrality itself, we have to push this issue. And I believe that what's happening at the moment behind the scenes within our government, within the Department of Trade, Enterprise and Employment, is that they are actually looking for opportunities to bring the arms industries into Ireland and to, I suppose, capitalise on this huge financial resource that is going to be there, given to the European Defence Agency, to actually boost it. There's going to be huge money coming in there. They will want that money. They'll want resources to it. You know, we look, every day you lift the newspaper, you see that such a factory is closed down, it's moving off to wherever. They're looking for other opportunities, the government, to provide so-called employment for people here. And that's what it's going to be, you know. That's what we're going to end up having, a choice of the dole queue or working in the arms industry. And I think we have to challenge that and fight against it. And one of the best examples we've seen in recent years was with the Raytheon industry moving into to Derry, where, and at the time I objected to it, and I found it ironic that the two Nobel Peace Prize winners were the two people who welcomed Raytheon in. It was just amazing to see that they both welcomed them in. John Hume in particular was disingenuous about the fact he tried to have it both ways. And when you look back now at the reports and the information that's come out, he clearly knew that this wasn't just about computer chips. This was about a lot more. And that he must have known that, you know, this was about the arms industry. Now you have individual citizens being taken to court over trying to highlight what was going on at Derry and trying to highlight the hypocrisy and the irony of building a peace process on the arms industry and having peace at home and wars abroad. And now they are up on charges. There is a media, there was a media blackout there before Christmas in relation to their trial, because they don't want to have the public knowing what's going on. They don't want the public to think. They want to try and keep us in the dark as much as possible and prevent us from looking at what's going on and analysing and saying, like, OK, if people think the arms industry is a good idea, if people think we should boost the arms industry and have more, create more weapons of mass destruction and create employment for people in the arms industry and, you know, provide more weapons right around the planet, coerce more poor countries in the world who can't afford to pay, to feed their children, you know, to educate them or to do anything, to buy weapons instead of actually putting the resources into their, you know, into their economies, then fine. But I don't believe that that is the right way forward. And I think that the vast majority of Irish people don't believe that that is the right way forward. And when people try and dismiss the military aspects of the EU, they are either completely ignorant of the facts or else they're basically trying to mislead the public, because it's there in black and white. What is happening in Europe is the creation of a European military superstate. And why do we want to create another military superstate? We can see the biggest one on the planet and the havoc and devastation that that has caused. And the idea that you actually use military might to try and solve military problems, or in fact sometimes it's not even military problems, it doesn't work. And Europe is only creating the potential as well, not just the fact that Europe is trying to compete with the US and be another huge military force. And I'll finish on this, but what Europe is trying to do is create another European military superpower. And if they do that, what is to stop Asia deciding we are going to create an Asian military superpower? Because, look, Europe is doing it. America did it. Europe's doing it. So that's the thing to do. We should be looking at another way forward for the future instead of going down the road of militarism and of supporting the arms industry, which have an absolutely unacceptable influence on policy and decision making. Why has the European Constitution, or now the Lisbon Treaty, why has it been more or less in relation to this issue drafted by the arms industry and by senior military people and by the pro-militarists in Europe? Why has that been? It is not acceptable. It is not in the interest of people, it's not in the interest of the future, and it's not in the interest of the planet. So we have to oppose it, and we have to try and expose what's going on, and I'll finish on that. Thank you
very much, Patricia.